You are God. You are great. You are high and lifted up, and we want to see you in new and fresh ways that transforms our heart today. And so, Father, as we share from your word, thank you for the great privilege to do that. And would you speak to every heart about how you want us to follow you? And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Well, good morning, Risen Life. Good to see you. Several of you have come back since the last time I was here about 4 weeks ago. It's good to see more of you coming back bit by bit, and we're just excited that God is doing this new and fresh work among us and regathering us, and God is on the move in some really, really exciting ways. And you know, God has been so good to us. He has been so good to our congregation through this pandemic. He has protected us. I think I'm the only one on staff that got it, you know? And that's a gift, right? God's been good. And very little disruption in our church family as we've gone through this last year. And we've just seen God do so many incredible things. And I want to thank all of you for being so gracious with each other and gracious with me and gracious with the staff as we've worked through this pandemic. It's been a good example of the Spirit of God's love and grace among us. But God is on the move. He's doing a fresh thing, and we want to hear from him today. We've been studying what it means to live as a Christian in Romans 12 to 16, but today we're going to take a break. We're just going to celebrate some of the things God is doing in our valley and in our city and really in our state, because there's so much good going on, and God is at work in incredible ways. And so I'm going to introduce to you a friend of mine. We're kind of a little further away. That's maybe because I have COVID. Normally I sit just a little closer to the other guy on stage, Phil. I feel like you're like a way over there. But Phil is a friend of mine. Yeah. And Phil is a church planter. And he has a real heart to team to reach this valley for Jesus. And so we've become a support church to them. And we've learned a ton from them already, too. So it's exciting. And so, Phil, we want to hear from you today. You got a lot to share with us and interact a little bit. So, yeah. Phil, welcome.
Thank you. Yeah. And this is a different format for me. So if it seems a little awkward, it's because I'm a little awkward. But thank you for your patience. My name is Phil. I've been pastoring in Utah since 2002, some as a youth pastor, some as an associate pastor, and for the last 3 years, a church planting pastor at Lakeview Church in Stansbury Park, Utah. So we're across, not in this valley, that way, yeah, that way. Tooele County, and we started in 2018. So my wife Melissa, and we have four kids. We are out there, and we're seeing this new church happen, and it's kind of neat. I would have had Melissa here with me today, except for Pastor Jared and I switched places. I don't know if you guys know this, but he's actually preached out at our church a few times, and we decided to do the swap. So she's actually getting to reconnect our church with him and Risen Life, as we've jumped into this really neat partnership.
Yeah, so Phil and I are teaming for the gospel with many other leaders in the Christian community across our city. And as you know, here at Risen Life, we talk a lot about real life transformation, that there is a message of the gospel that we preach weekly in the Bible that talks about God and how he loves us. And he cares about us so much that he sent his son to die for our sins, that we can have new life in him. And this life is a life of purpose and meaning and joy and peace in a pandemic. And it is what the Bible calls new life. Mm-hmm. And so God offers us that. In fact, we aim for that. And Galatians 4:19, we often share that Paul said, I'm just in the pains of childbirth until Christ has formed you, that we'd experience the very life of Jesus in us. It's a transformed life that we can experience in Christ, but then also to be people who share that, who multiply that. We call it real life multiplication, where we try to then take what we have found in Christ and share it with others, not only individually, but also as a church. And we have said for many years now that our strategy has been to be a church of 300 or 400, and as we grow, and God blesses us with growth, to send off a few others to plant a church, and we've done that a few times now over the years, where we seek to be a church that multiplies, not only individually, but through church planting. Paul prayed in Colossians 2 that he would see an opening for the gospel, and there would be an opportunity to share Jesus with his city and to see it multiplied, and that has been our heart, and the kingdom is expanding. In my 13 years here, Salt Lake City is changing. The gospel is taking root here. It's coming alive in a lot of new churches, and we're excited to be doing that. And in Stansbury Park, of all places, in Grantsville. My wife and I drove out there last Sunday. We couldn't be here because we were quarantined, so we drove out there. And oh my gosh, that's changing, Phil.
Yeah.
What is going on out there in Grantsville and Stansbury? Tell us a little bit about it.
Yeah. Seventh fastest growing county in the nation. And people are just moving there like crazy, which is really neat. And it was an opportunity. So Stansbury Park, when we moved out there, zero churches aside from the predominant. And we thought it was a neat opportunity. So we felt that God was leading us to share the joy and freedom that comes from relationship with Him with that community. So we laid down our roots there, and then God said, no, one's not enough. He said, 15 churches in 30 years. So pretty intense, and it's a place that's just ripe for the gospel. So right now, we're planning on two more campuses in Tooele County, and we just see people hungering for it out there. We're planning on partnering with other churches and doing 15 in different places, anywhere from Pocatello to Elko to Evanston. We just feel God leading us in that. And just to give you an idea, we thought we'd do one and then wait a few years, but we're at two for two. So we've started two churches in 2 years, and people are just coming for the gospel. It's crazy. It's growing with people and population, and we're seeing Jesus really step in and lives changed. I'll share more about that as we go on here, but it's pretty neat.
Yeah, it is. And you know, Phil, as we talk, we feel like as we talk that it's better to do this together and to figure out how to team well for the gospel and to learn from each other. I know I learn a lot from you, Phil. You're a young guy, but my gosh, I learn a ton from you. And it's so exciting to be around you. And all of us have various gifts and resources. Each church is a little bit different. And we can work together in ways that let us accomplish the end of advancing the gospel. This kingdom is not about Risen Life Church or about Lakeview Church.
Yep.
It's about a movement of God in multiple churches through people that have various expressions of the gospel in various churches teaming together to accomplish the advancement of God's kingdom. And God is doing some cool things, and we're looking for ways to join Him. In fact, I was at a denominational meeting here probably 2 months ago now, and we were talking about what God was doing in Salt Lake Valley, and there was a number of things we were talking about that our denomination was accomplishing, but I kind of raised my hand. I said, I don't know if this is even appropriate or not, but the thing that's most exciting to me as a guy that's not even in our denomination, I was talking about Phil, and that is seeing churches planted and growing, and so we wanted, like, it's just not about us, right? It's about the kingdom and all of God's people working together.
Yeah, and there's this attractional thing, so he said different conferences. Some of you guys may or may not know too much about what your church is connected and ours is. Most people at our church wouldn't even know that we're part of a conference or denomination. So it's kind of a moot point. But what was attractive to me about Risen Life initially is how you guys have multiplied and sent churches out. And I only heard about Risen Life originally because your youth pastor, Josh Jost, and I were friends as youth pastors. And your junior high youth pastor? Is he a youth pastor now?
He's still an intern. Yeah, he's a youth pastor. And then Max is our junior high.
Max Dietz was in my youth group at one point. So really neat connection. So then they invited me over here. I met Jared. And as we were growing and we felt God was telling us to plant another church, I thought, like, what an opportunity to steal Jared, because the Bible doesn't say anything about shepherd stealing. Right?
Yeah.
Well, not that I knew of, anyway. But it ended up not working out. Just Jared wasn't feeling it. We weren't feeling it. And it worked out amazing in the sense of Jared has jumped into a new role here. And we found an incredible guy named Pastor Jeff Hubrick, who is leading our Grantsville campus and doing a wonderful job. And it's through those connections that I started hanging out with you guys, you and Robert.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And these guys were disconnected churches from different families, different backgrounds, drove out to Stansbury Park to sit down with me and my wife at our church. And all they did was ask us how we were doing, how's our souls, and they prayed for us. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was one of the most fantastic things for a church to come alongside a little church, like a seasoned, grown-up big church, yeah, to come alongside a baby church and just spend time investing in us. And from that moment forward, they've continued to do that. We continually have Robert comes out and invests in me, Kevin comes out and invests in me, I come over here and ask for stuff, and you guys usually hand it out. So it's been pretty incredible, but one of the most attractive models that I've seen is to stay a certain size so you know your people and send out new churches. And we've actually adopted the Risen Life model at Lakeview. Mm-hmm. So instead of trying to grow super big,
yeah.
we've decided to say, this is how big we're going to grow, like mm-hmm. you guys have done, and we're going to send out. And it's been really exciting. So
it really is fun, and it's been a joy to see God use us kind of as a more mature church. And we say at our staff meetings all the time, we want you to spend some of your time, and a good sum of your time, supporting other churches. Don't just build the ministry here at Risen Life. Find other churches and other pastors to support and encourage and come alongside. And our team is doing that. And we're having a lot of fun doing that. And we say we want to share our resources and share our people, but I kind of do draw the line at Max. You know, you're kind of coming after Max a little bit.
I did try to get Max.
We want Max. Like, don't be taking Max. Like,
well, I feel like I did him a favor because I was like, if you guys don't hire him, I will. Right?
That's right.
Yeah.
And this is all joking aside. If Max is called out there, we send him where Jesus is calling. But fortunately, we're thankful that Max is called here for now. But God is doing a great thing with us. And we want to be supportive of other churches. And really, as kind of the old guy in the circle, you know, I really feel like my best use of my days that are left is to figure out ways to be a blessing to the younger pastors.
Right. And that's something we love at our church. At a former church where I was associate pastor, we had a rule for the young guys. We said, adopt an old man.
Hey. Hey.
Right? And it was special. Like, these guys teach us so much as young guys, and I think there's a level of arrogance that says we don't need them. We actually really do. And for the, you know, for the seasoned, we'll call you guys seasoned.
Yeah.
The
yeah.
seasoned folks.
Yeah. yeah.
For you to take time and invest in us is just so valuable. That relationship for me, I would say I get more out of it than say Kevin would or any of the other folks. But we really subscribe to this. If you're older, invest in a younger person. If you're a younger person, find an older person who can teach you some things about life.
Yeah.
So I value that relationship.
Yeah, and I do too, as you know. And don't mind being called an older guy, by the way. You can say it again second hour.
All right. Okay.
Gently, though, please.
Just a little more. Okay, gently. Got it.
But it is really our heart not only to speak it, but also to do it, right? So, for example, Pastor Jared is out speaking at Lakeview Church today, and he is going to share with them a $10,000 check from the extra giving we have given here to support the work in Grantsville.
Yep.
You guys are going fast and going hard, and you're young, and you don't have the resources in some of these areas, like finances. And so we want to share that. So we're going to, like, we kind of call it skin in the game.
Yes.
Like we're,
yes.
we're in, yep. right? And again, you mentioned that Pastor Robert and myself come out and spend time. And some of our best people, you kind of stole them, Alan and Becky Trigg. Like,
yes.
And we're happy about this, by the way, that, like, they're some of your best people. And many of you know Alan and Becky. And so maybe some of you that are closer to Tooele County need to join them out there. We really mean that. Like we got to expand the kingdom. They need resources. And so we want to actually, like, not just say it, but actually do it. And
we totally stole them. They're on our elder board.
Wow, you really did.
Alan and Becky are wonderful people. Yeah. Wonderful people. And Kevin, I just feel like you guys have really modeled a lot of good things. Like, for you guys, from outsider looking in, I appreciate the health of Risen Life. From the leadership to the people serving and investing, there's a lot that we've learned from you guys. And when I grow up, I'd like to be like you guys.
Well, thank you. That's very, very kind. So this is an interesting day. We want to talk about, kind of drill down into some specifics here a little bit, but it's an interesting day. You know, we sense that God is doing this fresh work with us, right, in rebuilding his church. We've gone through this whole thing with COVID and masks and the pandemic, but we've discovered some things, like the church is still alive. We knew this, right? We knew it in theory, but this church is, even if it has to go, like, sort of do our houses, you know, for a season, it's still alive. And the communication and the love and the concern and care for one another, it went on maybe even stronger. And as we've gone through the pandemic, we've come back, I think, even stronger. And new things are happening, fresh things, and lives are being changed, and people are finding Christ. And so there's kind of a new movement of God. And so maybe, Phil, just share a little bit of what this has been like recently for you and a little bit of what's going on out there at Lakeview.
So I'll keep it pretty straight to the point. So Easter of 2019, we launched Lakeview, and we went from 0 to 240 in 9 months.
In Tooele County, right? Like, this doesn't
Tooele
happen.
Tooele County. The Stansbury Park has had 7 failed church plants before us. So, like, God is doing some incredible stuff. And then, of course, at 240, then COVID shows up, right? So we have spent half of our life in COVID. And the way we felt like we wanted to deal with it, if people wanted to come meet Jesus, we wanted to make a way for them. So we did an online service, a mask required service, and a mask optional service. And we've done that all the way through. So we've managed to tick off everybody. Like, everybody's upset with us in some way, shape, or form. But the interesting thing is that once we reopened, there's a picture here. This is just in January. We completely outgrew our space. Like, we ran out of room doing church this way. It was absolutely exciting. Moment for us. So that's what pushed us into launching our second campus, because we outgrew where we currently are in Stansbury. And Grantsville is another growing community that is just 10 minutes west of Stansbury. So this is, actually, if you jump back to that real quick, that's Pastor Jeff and his wife, Heather. This is a commercial building that we've leased. So we spend a lot of money out there to try and share the gospel. It's a beautiful place.
This is where 10,000 of our dollars are going.
That's
today
exactly
to
where. So
for that, right?
The financial support from Risen Life is going to this campus. And the next one is, you know, the interior of the building is just beautiful. They are currently running just around 100 people at Grantsville. They launched beginning of March with what we call pre-launch and officially launched on Easter. So they're already running around 100. We're running around 200 at Stansbury. The crazy thing is we sent 75 people from Stansbury to Grantsville, and we haven't missed a beat. We had one band at one church, and now we have two bands at two churches. Where do the musicians come from?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like God is on the move. And as far as like what we've seen, we see mission, what we call mobilized missionaries at our church. We've seen baptisms. We've seen new believers. And when it comes to mobilized missionaries, it's you guys. It's, if you've been a seasoned Christian, it's like, okay, what does this look like? We have people investing and serving. They're plugging in. It's absolutely exciting. We've done 23 baptisms in 2 years. There's a few photos here of the guys in the blue shirts. You just keep them rolling. These are all people we've baptized since we started. And most recently, this one here, Grantsville's already baptized 5 people since they've opened. Like, it's absolutely crazy. And in our church, of people that we know who have turned their lives over to Jesus, we have 94 new believers out of those 300 people, and those are the adults that we know of. So we actually sent Grantsville, they went over with like 55 new believers, and Pastor Jeff's like, God, like, where are my leaders coming from? I feel like I've got a bunch of riffraff and crazy, like, weird people, and Jesus told Jeff, that's what I had.
Yeah.
So it doesn't matter where you're at. These people have plugged in and served, and we've just seen guest after guest after guest coming into that church. It's unreal. Like, we've just been a part of, and I don't think I'm an amazing pastor. Like, I don't like preaching, just so you know.
Yeah.
More of the preparing stuff. I'd rather, like, go play than work most of the time.
Yeah.
But God is doing something, and we've just really tried to grab onto that.
Yeah. You know, it's a, it really points out, I think, Phil, why we engage in church planting, because if you're a church planter, you've got to reach lost people or you're done.
Yep.
Like, you're toast. So and there's nothing like church plants to reach the lost.
Yeah. Well, and I'm glad you mentioned that, because I actually forgot about that. I took it out of my notes, but Tooele County is 0.84% evangelical. When we started, I think it's 0.85 now.
Yeah. That's because you've baptized
we're
a bunch.
We're moving the needle.
You're
up.
Moving the statistics, right?
Yeah. So we're just there are not enough Christians in our county for us to grow a church with Christians. So God's like, here's a harvest, go to it.
So it's a picture of why at Risen Life we engage and support church plants, because this is how people are reached for Jesus, more than even from the more established church. Now, we have some real strengths to offer them. Right? We have been faithful for 60 years of ministry. We teach the Bible week by week. Lives are being transformed. We have a lot of mature believers here. We raise up a lot of leaders here. We have a safe, healthy environment where people can come and heal and grow in grace here. And so it's a strong church. And so we have a lot to offer the church planter. It's a great community. And yet, in a more seasoned church, right, we tend to lose a little of our missional edge, right? Mm. A little of our evangelism edge.
Yep.
A little bit of our, like, you can come and sit and just enjoy here, right? And not really serve as much as probably God would want you to. We're going to talk about this in a moment. And so tell us a little bit of kind of what goes on at Lakeview that maybe we can kind of learn from you here.
Right. Yeah, so a super interesting thing, when we started Stansbury Park, we started with right around 85 people. 80% of our people were volunteering the day we opened the door. 80%. The rest were children. So 100% of the adults serving, and we prayed that God would give us what we call critical mass. And these people volunteered to be mobilized missionaries in our community to reach the people who didn't know Jesus. When we started Grantsville, same thing. 80% of the people volunteering, the rest were kids. So volunteering at our church has been something that's really caught my attention and it's caught our attention, and how it's affected the culture of our church. It's been really significant. It's just, we're seeing God has created us to worship him through serving, and that's been rather a significant thing that we've seen.
Yeah, that number, I mean, did you catch that? 80% of the people in his church are serving in the church. That's a really high number, right? And again, in the larger church, it's, and some people we just need this season where you just kind of come and heal and grow and be fed, but really, to really experience Christ, and to really experience the fullness of serving him, we got to find a place of service in his body and in his family. And so this is something we can learn from Phil, I think. And in fact, we had Phil come and speak to our staff about this a few months ago, kind of a little bit of how to mobilize people, how to get people in that joyful place of serving, to enlarge their teams of volunteers and to get the family, because we all have something to offer. It's really important. And so, Phil, I really want you kind of to preach here a little bit at us, like, or to us, maybe with us.
With you,
right,
with
gently,
you, yeah.
Right. But we want to hear a little bit of your heart on this, because I think it's really unique and powerful. So
This comes from observation, so I'm by no means an expert, so just walk with me on this. But I wanted to start this next little bit, because I'm talking about serving, and then I'm going to talk about evangelism, or inviting people to know the gospel. And it came to us with this kind of this bizarre experience of asking the question, where can you worship Jesus? Where can you worship him? Anywhere, right? It's not like you walk into a building and Jesus is like, no, Phil, I can't come in there with you, right? No, he's coming in. You know, he says to Peter, here on this rock I'll build my church and the gates of hell will not withstand it. I don't know about you, but I'm not really familiar with gates that move. So we're marching into darkness. So where? Anywhere. When can you worship Jesus? Anytime. How can you worship Jesus? Any way possible. It just comes down to understanding that if he's the king, he's always the king. If he's our savior, he's always our savior. And there's really nothing that we can do to block that. And when we recognize that, then we started asking ourselves a question of, okay, what does it mean to worship? What does it mean to engage with him? And at the end of the day, the question of how is, it's our methods that we choose to worship him with. That we're acknowledging him as king. Worship is not about me, although the byproduct is I feel good about it. It's about acknowledging king. And what we've recognized is that in Ephesians 2:10, we see this interesting verse that says, "For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works that God prepared us in advance for us to do." So that means if I believe in Jesus, I have a relationship with Jesus, I understand that I was created to serve. Why? Not because he needs me to serve, but because I use who he has made me to be, my giftedness and all that, to worship him. And that's something we've really tried to present to our people, that he's designed each of us with the very purpose of serving in one way, shape, or form. Now, that could be different all across the board. Like, there is the church program that you can volunteer, and there's outside the church program. But what we believe at our church is that the church program, you don't volunteer for the church. The church creates opportunity for you to worship in your design, in your unique design that God's created you to be. Now, sometimes that does involve a little bit of sacrifice. At our church, I've had to ask a few folks to jump in and do some things that they weren't comfortable with just for a short season. In particular, I have a gal at our church. Her very first words out of her mouth is, "Phil, please don't ask me to serve in kids ministry or talk to people." Well, that really limits what you can do at the church. But she runs our Facebook page, right? And that's how she is worshiping and acknowledging God. So I think not only are we created to serve, but we actually thrive in specific areas of service because we are a specific part of the body, right? We were designed to be part of the body of Christ. And I say we worship best in that area. 1 Corinthians 12:18-19 says, "The body of Christ, but our bodies have many parts, and God has put each part where he wants it," right? It's not that easy to put a round peg in a square hole, right? So there's this interesting piece of figuring out where you fit, like how strange a body would be if it only had one part. So at Lakeview, one of the things we realized early on is that when we're reading our Bible and people say, "I want to go deep, I want to go deep," I say, "Well, okay, what does that mean?" you want me to say confusing words and make you feel guilty? Is that what you're looking for? Or you want to get to know Jesus more? You want to worship Jesus more intensely? Well, if that's the case, then the Bible is the plate, forks, and knives, and the meat is the application of that. It's what we've found, and we're trying it. We're an experiment. We're 2 years old. It's not like we know what we're doing. But we've seen people really engage when we've helped them find the right part of the body that they serve in. And it's been really interesting. Each part of the body is unique. Like, you are a unique person. I'm a unique person. I'm preaching right now because that's my job and my role, but I'm praying that someday I take more of an executive role because preaching isn't my thing. And it's interesting watching Pastor Jeff, who loves preaching, just thriving in it. And I enjoy it, but it empties my tank a lot quicker than other people. So you can serve in areas that aren't built for you, but at the end of the day, the point is you were created to serve, and it's neat when you can find a spot that really fits you. Now, interestingly enough, there's this piece of scripture that applies to us as pastors that I found really unique, because I have a role to play with you, and you maybe have caught it, maybe not. It's the only place in the New Testament where the word pastor is used as a noun. It's Ephesians 4:12. It says, "So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up." I hope you see that. What's our job? Believe it or not, it's to put you to work. Right? It's our job to help you find the place that you fit in serving. Now, it's interesting to me that I think I like to laugh as far as when I say, what is my part of the body? I like to say, as pastors, we're the thumb. You guys got this, right? You got this. Sometimes it's, right? Just, it depends. But we've tried to create a volunteer structure that allows all kinds of people to serve in all kinds of different ways. But I don't believe the church program exists for you to fill a hole. I believe we try and create a scenario for you to worship Jesus through who he's made you to be. And that's what we've watched at Lakeview, and it's created a different experience. When I say mobilized missionaries, these are people who worship Jesus, whether it's singing in a band or cleaning a toilet. They've looked at their service as an act of worship, acknowledging Jesus as Lord and King, because when is he Lord and King? All the time, everywhere, every place. So with that said, our program is also pretty limited as a small church. We also believe it's not necessarily about serving in the program of the church, but it's serving anywhere that God has created you to serve. So some of our people serve in some of our local ministries that we're involved in. You know, as time goes on, we'll probably do more stuff together, and people might jump in and say, hey, we want to be part of our networking church serving opportunity. So the point really, though, is the incredible growth we see in our people has really come from them worshiping through service. It's extremely, extremely valuable. And when they serve, they grow. When they serve, they eat meat. When they apply the scriptures, it doesn't get any deeper than that. And that's what we're watching. So in one of the practical things we've done, we've talked about this. I'm not sure exactly where you are on this, but we have a thing called a ministry menu. And people can go and look at this little thing and go, where can I serve? And it says anything from time commitments to, like, as far as you'll serve weekly, you know, what's the season of the service. We've created it around there because we expect our believers to be serving. The one piece that's about that, why we've created this ministry menu, is you can wait for your pastor to help you find a place to serve, or you can acknowledge, this is what we tell our people, you can acknowledge that God's created you to serve, so get at it. Like, you don't have to wait for the pastor to do it.
Yeah.
So that's my encouragement here is, you know, you could wait for Kevin and Jared to give you a place, or you could say, okay, God, have you designed me to worship you through service? I need to find what that looks like.
And I think that's a good challenge, Phil. Thank you. And and by the way, you're a pretty good preacher.
Hey.
Right there. Yeah. So, but it's a good challenge for us. And I think as we come out of this pandemic at Risen Life, as kind of the older, more seasoned church, which has its strengths, but also kind of tends to be, because of that, easy to not be involved and not serve, and to really say, okay, as we come out of this pandemic, what is my place? How do I serve? And we want, as a staff, want to help you and you with us. Let's be ambitious about this. Let's find a place of service. Because as Phil said, we really don't enjoy all that God has for us, and we don't really worship him, and we don't find the blessing of living for him until we find our place to serve in the family. I remember at age 17, my youth pastor said, would you like to preach? 17, that's crazy. Like, he shouldn't have been asking me to do this, right? But I did it. And that put a seed in my heart to one day be doing what I'm doing today. And then someone comes along when I'm 23 years old, my wife and I, we'd been newly married, and they said, would you like to work with junior high's kids, you know? And we were crazy enough to say yes to that, right? We just did it. And that was the path that God put us on to eventually ending up serving in these ways that God has called us to. And so all of us, I mean, this is a critical part of journeying and growing in Christ. But there's one other thing I want to highlight, because it's such a big thing in church plan, and that is the great privilege of sharing Christ with lost people. Mary and I were at a birthday party in our neighborhood just this last Thursday night, and we were over there, and a bunch of people, most of whom are not followers of Jesus, and they like to kind of make fun of Pastor Kevin. They know I'm a pastor, you know, and they make fun of me and stuff, but what a joy to be amongst people and be a bright light for Jesus. There's nothing that thrills my heart more than to be in that setting, and I know that's your heart too, Phil, so yeah. Tell us a little bit about kind of how you see that at Lakeview.
Well, yeah, so we survive off of new believers. Like, we're going down as a church if we don't have them. Like, we're done. And because of that philosophy, it's really caused us to examine kind of churches in general. And I'm going to share something that, just following with me on this, is being outward focused is at the core of our church because of the Great Commission, right? And if we could throw that up, or I don't know if you have it on there, but Matthew 28:16-20, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you, and surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age. I guess I just don't see that as an option. Like, it's not I don't feel like that's a suggestion. When Jesus said this, it's the last thing he said to us before he ascended into heaven, and he says, go do this. And for me, when we planted or began the process of planting, again, we're really young, 2 years old, Easter of 2021. I was like, this is really intimidating, but I think part of it has been focused on what your view of evangelism is, right? I grew up where it was, here's a tract, now go. I say go head someone into the kingdom, right? Not headbutt, but like argue them into Jesus. And I found that, like, if you tried to argue me into liking basketball over hockey, there's nothing you're going to say that's going to convince me, right? But if you hang out with me and we play a little bit, we become friends, and that's how we socially connect, I might develop an interest. Probably not, because it's basketball, but that's another topic for another time. But what we found is, like, as I said earlier, I asked a question because this really applies here, is where and how and when can you worship Jesus? Like, you can't say no anytime, any place, anywhere. And so what it made me realize is that we worship Jesus with different methods, right? Mm-hmm. Sunday morning church service at this particular time in this building is a method. Jesus is still king whether or not we do this. Am I right? Different types of music, whether it's hymns or whether it's rock. I haven't really heard hip-hop worship, but I bet it's out there.
Or rap, maybe.
Rap, yeah. Those are methods of worship. Yeah. Is Jesus still king, regardless of the style of music? Or even, like, as I'm thinking about this, I always pick on preaching, because verse by verse, or topical, or the Tonight Show.
Yeah, this is
right?
Tonight Show.
Here, right?
Yeah,
This is a method. Jesus is still king. So what we've come to recognize, and what we've really put into practice out there, is we've asked ourselves, okay, what methods are confusing to people who don't know Jesus? What methods are turning people off? And I'm going to give you an example, and then don't hate on me for this. Somebody who doesn't know anything about Jesus, and they walk into a church and they hear washed in the blood of the Lamb, without some sort of explanation, they're like, what is this, a vampire club?
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Like, there's a piece of that they just don't understand. So we've recognized that and said, if we're going to sing something like that, we want to make sure they understand it first. Like, and those pieces are really interesting. And the concept behind that is outward versus inward. I'm going to say something that I really believe. It takes no energy or effort for a church to be inward focused at all. We will naturally do things for ourselves, with ourselves. And that's not a bad thing. As people, if you think about a party you've been to or a gathering you've been to, you walk in, the first thing you do is look for somebody you know. You go to that place of comfort because it's easy, it's safe, it's comfortable. And then you get into that group. When you're a guest, it's a little bit awkward. You're trying to find where you fit in, and it's super nice when somebody pulls you into their circle. But once you've been pulled into their circle, it's easy to forget about the people that are on the outside. So for us, we've recognized that we're not even going to try to be inward focused at our church, because it happens naturally. we've put a lot of our energy in being outward focused. And we actually have defined the difference between a guest and a visitor at our church for that reason. A guest is somebody who doesn't know Jesus, or it's a prodigal son or daughter returning. A visitor is somebody who already knows Jesus, and they're just checking us out to see if we're the right flavor or not, but their salvation is not at stake. Mm-hmm. And therefore, our programming at our church, our form of worship, is attuned to the guest. We actually believe that when it comes to the guest, my role as a pastor is to clear a pathway to the throne for the little children and those who are like these. That's what Jesus says, like, let the little children and those who are like these come. So if the little children can't get to the throne of Jesus because we've put this giant hurdle of theological words they don't understand, or music that's really weird to them, they don't understand the concept that we're singing, what we're singing about, that's a hurdle we have to get out of the way. We want to clear the path to the throne because we believe the Great Commission is unbelievably important. And I would actually go so far to say that if you truly believe Jesus is a king and a savior, then I would say that's good news worth sharing regardless. Now, that doesn't mean you have to go out and please, like, we tell our people, I don't want you to theologically argue someone in heaven. Jesus, if he's real, he doesn't need salesmen. He needs representatives. So what we say is, let them know you go to church at Lakeview, because we send out a mailer to everybody in our county, so everybody's heard of us. It says junk mail, right? And then live life with them. And, you know, if there's an opportunity, God will create it. The coolest thing that we've seen, so our method of evangelism to the community, our program, is we send a mailer to 40,000 homes twice a year. And let me ask you this, do people come to church because they got junk mail? Christians do, but not non-believers. But non-believers have come because Jesus is always already working on their heart. Yeah. He's just invited us to be part of the process. So what we've really believed strongly when it comes to evangelism, we need to create a pathway for them to the throne. Now, for us, when we say mobilize missionaries to our people, we invite every single Christian in our church to know at least 8 homes in their neighborhood. Who lives there? And take that house from, like, cat lady person to actually knowing that her name is Clarice, right? And now we pray for Clarice. I picked a name I couldn't even say. And we talk to Clarice. We invest in her. We invite her over. We have conversation with her. And when God presents the opportunity, we invite Clarice to church. And one of the commitments we've made to our people is that as pastors, we're not going to say anything weird that's going to freak your guest out when they come. So we've had to be really specific in our methods of worship of the scriptures we choose to share. We really let the Holy Spirit lead us in that. But it's been really important for us to examine what that looks like.
Mm-hmm. Well, Phil, I am so thankful that you've come to share your heart. Band, you can come on up with us today and to let us learn from you some things. Because there are things happening, by God's grace, mm-hmm. at Lakeview Church that I think are inspiring for us. And to dream together what God might do with us as we team together. And we got some resources and some things to work with you and help and serve you. And you've got some things to challenge us. Like, this has been challenging today for us. And we're really thankful. And we want to be a church that's missional. We are. And yet more so. Like, to see God use us individually and corporately to see his kingdom advanced. I really think that this pandemic, again, has given us a chance as a church to not only take what is good and have those building blocks in place, but then to tweak some things and make some adjustments and to come out of this thing stronger than we went into it. And here's a couple of areas, in the area of service and in the area of reaching lost people. There is no greater joy than being a light for Jesus and speaking for him and letting him be known. And so we're dreaming together, not only here, in this area, but also out into Nevada and around the area, and how we can multiply churches and kingdom.
Yeah, yeah. The hope of all people is Jesus.
Amen.
And it's never that a church is doing church. To me, I don't think churches do church wrong. We reach certain groups of people. We start church plants and church campuses for people we're not reaching. And that's the opportunity that we have. And like I said, Lakeview's been called to plant 15 churches in 30 years, and Now with this partnership, I feel like we have some really cool opportunities.
Yeah, and we're talking about planning together in Tooele County and doing some things that way. And so it's really exciting. But God just continually, I was talking to Phil about this week, God just blows us away over and over again and how he uses us. He takes broken people, crazy people like myself, and says, I want to use you for my kingdom of advancement. I just cannot believe, as flawed as I am, that God would use me to actually serve him and to put his glory on display. It just is amazing. And people these days are looking for something. They're coming out of this pandemic and they're looking for meaning. And the church has the answer.
Yeah. I think the thing that I would see is that we're not anything special. We're a bunch of Tooele County rednecks, to be honest. But God has given us a front row seat at eternity. And now that we're sitting there, we don't want to leave it. We want to be part of more of it. And God has also opened us up to say the kingdom is bigger than Tooele County. It's bigger than Utah.
Yeah.
And he's brought us people like yourselves to do ministry with.
I mean, just think for a moment what we have just heard even today of dozens of people coming to know Christ and churches growing in a place that has less than 1% of those that believe in the historical Jesus. God is great. He's doing amazing things through us, through Phil and Lakeview Church. He is so cool, and we get to serve him. We get to come alongside of him and worship him and be his people. So let's just wrap this up this morning by just meditating and thinking upon our great and amazing God and what he's doing in and through us. Father, thank you for what you've taught us this morning. And Father, now as we sing, let us sing of your great name. Thank you for what you are doing and how you want to use us. And we pray in Jesus. Amen.